Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances. Whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Mark Zickrey has written and produced hundreds of hours of series, TV shows, pilots, and feature films for most of the major studios and networks. Mark has founded the Space Command Studios, a production company based in L.A. and London, dedicated to making TV series and films that are socially relevant and inspiring. He's got his own YouTube channel now. He's also the author of several books, including Magic Time Trilogy, The Twilight Zone Companion, and Greenlighting Yourself. Mark, always welcome back, my friend.
Great to be here, George. It's always such fun.
What is new with you these days?
Oh, boy.
What a loaded question, right?
Yes. Well, first of all, I should say that I've decided to do the Twilight Zone audio commentaries, the episode commentaries I didn't do on the Blu-ray. So I did 52 on the Blu-ray. Now I'm doing the remaining 104 episodes. So I've started a site called TwilightZoneCommentaries.com where people can get an app. And actually, twice a week, they'll get these audio commentaries and we'll be able to watch them with their Twilight Zone episodes. And so that's great fun. And then I finished the new book, Greenlighting Yourself, and we're shooting more Space Command. And I'm actually in discussions on the new Rod Serling TV show. So there's a lot going on.
Oh, excellent. Good for you. How do people download the app?
If you go to TwilightZoneCommentaries.com, you can order it, and it's just right. It's all spelled out right there. So that's the easiest way to do it. And because you know, all these years since I wrote the Twilight Zone Companion, you know, I have all these stories from all the hundreds of people I interviewed who worked on the show, and I was able to put some of it in the Twilight Zone Companion, but not all of it. And so I always knew I would do commentaries on all of the episodes ultimately. So that these stories wouldn't be lost with me, and so that was it's going to be great fun, and I'm going to have a lot of my friends, people who worked on Twilight Zone, like Bill Mumy and Veronica Cartwright, and so forth, do some of these commentaries with me. So it's going to be really, really cool.
And it's a show that just seems to live forever, Mark, doesn't it?
Yes. You know, they just flew me to Binghamton, New York, to Rod's hometown, and for the Rod Serling Fest, I was guest of honor there a few weeks ago, and I got to, you know, have meals with Rod's daughters, Jody and Anne, and it just keeps going. You know, when Carol Serling, who was Rod's widow, who we just lost a little while ago, you know, every time I would run into her over the decade, she would say, you know, aren't you amazed how this thing just keeps going? And I think it's because, you know, great work lasts, and Rod created something really, really amazing.
Tell us about the event at Binghamton.
It was so cool because I'd never been to Rod's hometown, you know, surprisingly. And so to see the home that he grew up in is still there. It looks exactly the same, this white house. And the park that inspired Walking Distance is there. And it was just amazing. And the carousel, you know, the carousel that you see the duplicate of in Walking Distance, all these, it was just like walking through a Twilight Zone episode. It was really, really quite wonderful.
That's good. Did you ever have a chance to meet Rod Serling?
Well, you know, when I was a student at UCLA, one day he gave a talk there, And I had a final that day, and I chose to take the final. If I could go back in time and choose the other path.
You would.
Yeah, yeah.
He would have liked you.
Oh, yeah. And he's I came upon a video of him teaching a class where he would screen a Twilight Zone episode and then talk about it. And that was Rod, totally candid, not televised at all. And so I feel like I knew him. I feel, and also, of course, all the research I did for The Companion, I really feel like I got to know Rod very well. And he was an amazing, amazing man.
I'll always remember the story that you said that here in his Los Angeles home, Carol let you in the attic.
And
you were rummaging through Twilight Zone scripts and things that you had never seen before.
Yeah. It was amazing. Well, up in the attic, there were all these heavy brown leather volumes with every article ever written about Rod Serling in chronological order, just a whole shelf full of these big, thick volumes. And also another thing that was up in that attic were Rod would do to relax, because he was so prolific, is to relax, he would make airplane model kits. And so there were boxes of airplane model kits that he hadn't gotten around to making. And they were up there in the attic, too, because Rod, of course, sadly died at age 50. So it was really quite melancholy to be up there, but it was great.
HBO is airing a series called The Twilight Zone episode you never got to see.
Yes.
Tell us about this.
Well, it's really amazing. Rod, in 1964, Twilight Zone was still on the air. That was the last year new episodes were made of the original show. And at that same year, Rod wrote something called A Carol for Another Christmas. That's basically a modern, updated retelling of Christmas Carol, but set in the atomic age. And it was very much a Rod Serling script, very Twilight Zone in nature. And prior to HBO running it, it was almost impossible to see it. And it stars Peter Sellers and Pat Hingle and all these amazing actors, Eva Marie Saint. And it's really like a 90-minute Twilight Zone episode. And I just came upon it. The HBO has released it for the holidays, and it's quite a rarity. And previously, to see it, you'd have to go to a university archive and put it on a moviola and watch a 16-millimeter print. It was that rare. I don't think it ever was broadcast from 1964 on, and now it's on HBO in a gorgeous print, and you can watch it. It's really Rod Serling writing at the height of his career, so it's quite a wonderful lost episode.
How many episodes were there?
There were 156 Twilight Zone episodes and over five seasons, and Rod wrote 92 of them, so he was astonishingly... the quality of writing was just amazing. And the other writers, of course, Richard Matheson, Charles Beaumont, George Clayton Johnson, Earl Hamner, they were giants as well, and Rod really really had an amazing group of writers working with him.
And you were saying this some time ago that he would float in his pool with his dictaphone.
Lounge beside the pool in the mornings. He would get up in the morning and lounge by the pool in his swim trunks and dictate the Twilight Zone scripts. And he used to joke that he was the only writer who could write a script and get a tan at the same time.
That's now these are the episodes he wrote, right?
Yeah. He was one of the few writers who could dictate a script. Richard Matheson, who was one of the other Twilight Zone writers, told me that he tried to do it and he couldn't do it. But they thought that all those recordings were lost of Rod's dictation, and they just found 1,000 of them in the archive.
Priceless.
And it's Rod dictating scripts and dictating speeches and dictating letters. And so I'm proposing a new show called Rod Serling's After Twilight that Rod would narrate from that material, and that would be made up of unmade Rod Serling scripts. And there's a ton of those. And so I'm now in discussions with the Rod Serling family and the estate to see if we can make that show. I very much want to.
Well, that would be fantastic. And he would change characters while he was dictating and things like that?
Yeah. He would describe the shots. He would act out the different characters. I mean, he was really an amazing man. I mean, when you listen to him dictating these scripts, it's phenomenal because he's playing all the roles. He could just go into that. And, he was unique. There was really no one like him.
We're going to take calls with Mark Zakri at the half here, so get ready to jump on board, and then we've got open lines next hour here for you on Coast to Coast. How's the Mr. Sci-Fi YouTube channel doing?
It's going great. I started it a couple of years ago, and it allows me to talk about science fiction, and when we're shooting Space Command, we've been putting episodes up on Mr. Sci-Fi. We've got our first hour on Space Command. It's been seen by over 3 million people with a 97% thumbs up. And
wow, that's amazing.
Today I was having lunch with a Netflix executive who's very friendly with me, and we're now proposing a slate called the Showrunners Network, where I'm creating 6 new shows with the creators of The Expanse and Farscape and all these other shows, and it'll be like a slate of 6 series. So Space Command is one of those, but if people want to get a jump on that and see the first few episodes of Space Command, they're on Mr. Sci-Fi on YouTube for free. So it's hugely fun to have my own studio and be able to put out my own shows to the whole world. It's terrific.
Can I say I knew you when?
I think you're going to know me always, George. I mean, we've been kindred spirits from the first moment that we began to have this conversation.
Oh, we've clicked, haven't we? Over the years, it's been something else. And tell us about the evolution of Space Command. This is a great story.
Thanks. It's I grew up with Star Trek, the original Star Trek, and I got to visit the set when I was a kid, and it really formed me as a writer and as a person. And I realized that with Twilight Zone and Star Trek, back then, Rod Serling and Gene Roddenberry, they wanted to create shows that would inspire people to create a better future, that would create, where we could reach across boundaries and barriers and actually build a future worth living in. And lately I noticed that a lot of the science fiction shows, their message was, well, the future's going to be terrible and there's nothing you can do about it. And I thought, well, that's a terrible message to send out. So I thought, well, let me see if I can create a science fiction show set in the future, set in outer space, that would have an inspiring, positive message without being Pollyanna or rose-colored glasses or any of that. And I didn't want the networks or the studios to decide if the audience ever saw it. So I reached out to my fans, my audience, via crowdfunding and selling investment shares. And to date, they've given me over $3 million. And
no way!
Amazing, huh? And it allowed me to open my own studio. We've shot 7 hours of Space Command so far, and we're still going strong. We're going to shoot the entire season and keep going. And so it allowed me to write what I wanted to write and cast who I wanted to cast, like Bill Mumy, Veronica Cartwright we're going to be working with, and Doug Jones from Star Trek Discovery, and Gates McFadden. I mean, all these people, Mira Furlan from Babylon 5. I didn't have to ask anyone's permission. I just called my friends and said, you want to be in this show? And they all said, yes. So...
Oh, that's exciting. And you've had fun doing your own thing, haven't you?
Oh, every day is Christmas. Elaine and I are writing and producing and directing together. My wife, we've been together 45 years, and she's the best part of every day. And I just, I'm like that little boy on the Star Trek set when I was 10. It was just like a dream come true. And so I get to do that every single day. We're building an alien spaceship now at my studio. So, and we're building 2 8-foot-tall creatures and robots, and I own 15 spacesuits. I mean, how cool is that? So I'm a happy camper, definitely.
Well, that's great. I still have the Ray Bradbury letter that he wrote me when I did an editorial about I Sing the Body Electric, his Twilight Zone script, and he loved the editorial. It just made him so happy, and he wrote a letter to me about that.
Yeah, and I think that speaks to, Ray was a very dear friend of mine, and he was very childlike, not childish, but childlike. He kept that sense of wonder and that sense of gratitude and joy, and I think you really have to stay connected to that. And you definitely have, George, and I have too. You have to find enthusiasm and passion, and not let the world erode that. In fact, the new book, Greenlighting Yourself, that's what it's about. It's basically for writers and directors and actors and producers, where they can build their own dream and not wait for the studio or the network or even publishing companies to make their dream come true. It's how nowadays, with the internet and with digital cameras and all that stuff, you can reach the whole world. It's what I've done, and in that book, I wanted to share that with people who want to do the same. It's not that hard. You just have to get the right advice. So I'm really glad I finished that book. It's going to be out in the next few months. It'll be in bookstores and on Amazon, everywhere good books are sold. But it was just a way of, sharing what I've learned and what Ray Bradbury taught me and others taught me.
Tommy, producer Tommy, still quotes a number of Twilight Zone episodes. When he latches on to one or two that he loves, I mean, he just uses them all the time.
Yes. Well, there's so many great quotes. I mean, it's a cookbook, Room for One More, Honey. I mean, there's just so many catchphrases from Twilight Zone, and you know, I was joking with someone else recently where, like, what did people, like, nowadays we'll have a weird experience and we'll say, God, it was just like I was in the Twilight Zone. But before that, what did people say? Did they have to say, well, we'll have to wait until 1959 to be able to describe this? Because there really is no other phrase that fits so perfectly as that one.
Just a few days ago, I was talking about Little Girl Lost, the girl who fell into another dimension.
Yes.
That's just, yeah. I mean, what Wonderful. A great mind he had, didn't he?
Yes, yeah. And, you know, and it really takes looking at the world, I mean, you know, and seeing, sort of looking at it sideways and seeing possibilities where other people don't. And, you know, and then, of course, they had such great directors and such great actors. I mean, I recently cast Veronica Cartwright in a new show I'm creating with Rock Neil Bannon, who created Farscape. And, you know, Veronica Cartwright starred in I Sing the Body Electric, as well as Alien and The Birds. And to be working with her is, again, a dream come true, you know, because you look at all the amazing actors who are on Twilight Zone. You know, you and I, you know, are friends with Bill Mumy, but also, my God, they had Lee Marvin and Robert Redford.
Shatner. He started Shatner.
Exactly. Elizabeth Montgomery, all on and on. I mean, my God. And it just holds up. You watch those episodes now, and there's, you know, they don't lose a bit of their power.
No, not
at all.
They're
more relevant now than ever.
And then he had classic people like Burgess Meredith in there.
Yes, yes. And it was he was in four episodes. He was in Time Enough at Last and Princess Devil and The Obsolete Man, and he was just amazing. It was great when I interviewed him. He told me that, you know, Rod Serling. He said, like a great many writers, or like many good writers, Rod listened more than he talked. And he had a rapport with Serling, and Time Enough at Last, where he's the last man on earth, is just, it's unforgettable. It's one of the high points of television.
How did he work with his writers? Did he tell them the idea, or did he turn them loose and then he worked with them?
Yeah, Rod, the thing that was interesting about Rod was, He was very much an idea factory himself, and he was churning out script after script after script. With the writers, when he got that team of Richard Matheson, Charles Beaumont, and George Clayton Johnson, and Earl Holliman, they would kind of pitch ideas, or they would have written short stories that they thought would make good episodes, and he would just kind of let them, once they had it kind of nailed down, he would let them just go. He said to them, we will shoot the drafts that you write. And they didn't believe him at first, because so many other shows would just, you know, take their scripts and chew them up and spit them out. And they were amazed when the scripts that they wrote was what got shot. And so he really trusted these writers. They were amazing talents. And he gave them a free hand. He really gave them a free hand.
I remember the one on The Fever, it was called, about a guy who got hooked on a slot machine.
Yes, Franklin Gibbs. Yes, and that's a great episode. And Everett Sloan, you know, he was in Citizen Kane previously. He was in Patterns, which was a great live TV presentation that kind of put Rod Serling on the map. And in that, he plays a guy. Well, you know, Twilight Zone is very much about people who either rise or fall. They're given, they're put in a fantasy situation that either allows them to rise to the occasion, like Shatner in Nightmare at 20,000 Feet, or Franklin Gibbs, where he's kind of a stingy, kind of, you know, miserly guy, and then he gets the gambling fever and it does him in, you know. Or the one with the machines that come alive, you know, and all of those things. So it's always a test of someone's moral fiber. And again, that's why these episodes last so well, because they're about the human condition. And so something like Monsters Who Do on Maple Street and mob psychology and hysteria, I mean, my God, you look at the newspapers, you know, in the last few days, and you can see where Monsters Who Do on Maple Street is more relevant now than when Rod wrote it in 59.
The name Bartlett Finchley ring a bell?
Yes, exactly. A Thing About Machines. That's such a fun episode with the razor that comes slithering down that staircase, and, you know, the electric razor and the TV set. You know, it's just super fun. You know, the fun part about Twilight Zone is that it's serious, but it's also fun. And like Will the Real Martian Please Stand Up, where there's all these people stuck in a snowed-in diner, and one of them is a Martian. You know, and which one of them is the Martian? And, you know, it's just, you get a sense that these people making this show were having the time of their life and were just seizing an opportunity to make something that they would love and that the world would love, and they succeeded spectacularly.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CenturTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.